The Koi Gig Pod.
I'm going to have people with torches and pitchforks outside my door with this next question. But anyways, here we go.
Our version of the Ronaldo effect. You okay, hon?
I'm not good. I won't lie.
Subscribe to The Koi Gig Pod on the Off The Ball app now.
Football on Off The Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Good afternoon. You're very welcome here today as we officially unveil the new head coach of our men's national team, Eimear Halgrimsson. This is a significant day for Irish football and indeed for Irish sport. While I'm very pleased to make this announcement, I do want to acknowledge that it is coming during a difficult week in which the association has been dealing with very serious allegations related to historical abuse of women in Irish football. Please know our preference would have been to make this announcement at a different time, but due to a range of factors, we had to proceed today. We communicated this to the group of women in advance, and we've asked for their understanding. I wish to stress that we do not want to diminish or try to move on from what is a matter of the utmost seriousness. Despite today being an important day for Irish football, those courageous women remain at the forefront of our thoughts. And we reiterate our support for them and commit to ensuring it remains the top priority for the association. I also want to thank the media for your understanding, and I appreciate that the timing of today's press conference may have presented a challenge for some covering our vital game for the women's national team tomorrow evening against England, and those of you that have been covering the Euros in Germany. Now, regarding the appointment, there has been a huge level of interest in who would emerge from the process as our next head coach. This is testament to how much people care about Irish football and the fortunes of our national teams as they represent all of us on the global stage. I want to pass on my thanks to the other members of the recruitment team, our People and Culture Director, Aoife Rafferty, President Paul Cook, Board Member, Paddy Bonner, and, in particular, our Director of Football, Mark Cann. Collectively, we have run a very thorough and confidential process that was respectful of those involved and which ultimately resulted in us appointing the best candidate to help shape the future of Irish football. We are thrilled that Eimear is here with us today. He is a truly outstanding candidate, and on the occasions that I've met with him, I've walked away excited about what he can bring to the role. He has the full support of everyone in the association, and I have no doubt our wider football family. I'm going to pass now to Mark, who's going to offer some further background and detail on the appointment. And after that, Mark and Eimear will be available to take any further questions. Thank you very much, and congratulations, Eimear.
Thank you, David, and good afternoon, everyone. Absolutely delighted to announce Eimear Halgrimsson as our new head coach yesterday and to present him to the media and the Irish public today. He was the outstanding candidate for the role based on a number of factors. Firstly, he has fantastic experience at international level, national teams with two countries, Iceland and most recently Jamaica. He has a track record of qualifying for major tournaments, Iceland in Euro 2016, World Cup 2018, and obviously most recently with Jamaica in the Copa America 2024. Not only has he been successful qualifying for major tournaments, but has a track record of progression in tournaments evidenced by, most notably, by Iceland in Euro 2016, reaching the quarterfinals. He has also demonstrated a history of moving teams up the international rankings, which is significant for where we are as an Ireland senior men's team, Over the course of his time at Iceland, they reached their highest ever FIFA ranking of 18. And whilst his time as Jamaica saw the team rise up the world rankings also, which is very important and critical for us. He also has a track record of creating the right environment for teams to maximise the potential of the players and achieve results on the pitch, evidenced by his record and experience in developing players. The experience of Hamir aligned perfectly with our criteria, which included five key points. One is previous international head coach experience and success in those roles. The ability to take international teams up the rankings in similar positions to where we are in Ireland. Demonstrated a track record of qualifying and also competing at major tournaments. The ability to maximise the capability of the available players and produce winning football. And the experience and development of players and young players. Regarding the process itself, there are three important points I'd like to make at this point, and I would like to cover. One, we ran a very thorough process in which we identified Hamir as our outstanding and number one candidate. Two, it was hugely important to us that we ran a confidential process. This was important, firstly, to respect the candidates we spoke to, and secondly, is how an association and a professional organisation should run its business. As such, I will not be commenting on any other candidates who've been in the process. The third point is around the timeline. As part of the process through which we commenced at the back end of last year, we identified Hamir as a candidate and had an initial conversation with him in a very informal way in which we did the same with other candidates at that point. In March, our selection panel decided that Hamir was our number one candidate and he was the person we wanted for the role. We wanted to appoint Hamir, but he has been very consistent and very committed to the Jamaica national team, competing in the CONCACAF Nations League and also the Copa America. This was a decision that we absolutely respected. We remained in contact with Hamir and were willing to wait for him to become available. For us, for Irish football, for the selection panel and all of our key focus, it was always about getting the right person. It was always about getting the right person. And that was fundamental to the whole process, the whole time. Whilst we were looking at the short term, we were also looking at the long term. And we were absolutely focused to make sure that we got this appointment right and the right person for our senior men's team and for Irish football. And that is exactly why we made the decision to wait and secure Hamir at this point. As you would expect, and in order to protect the association, we remained in contact with other candidates. We were open, transparent conversations with Hamir. However, it's important to mention that Hamir was the only candidate we ever made a contract offer to. Hamir became available post-America, having resigned from the previous role. This enabled us to have formal contractual conversations and execute contract talks in the last 9 to 10 days. Final point. It is true this took time. We were always in control of the process. Always. We wanted to appoint someone who was the best person for the job, Irish football and our senior men's team. That is not something at any point we were willing to compromise on. We were never willing to compromise on that. And despite lots of external pressure and pressure on making an appointment, we stayed true to what we believed was right, and that was to find the best person for the job. And we were happy to wait for our number one candidate and delighted that he sat here next to us today. And we wish him good luck. I also want to thank and pay tribute to John O'Shea, who we have huge respect for, both as a player and also as a coach. He and his staff have guided the team through recent international friendlies in the last two windows. They prepared the team impeccably, created a brilliant environment for the players and achieved positive performances and results on the pitch. Finally, from me, we are thrilled to welcome Hamir and excited to what he'll bring to our senior men's team and indeed the association and Irish football as a whole. As well as being an important day for Irish football, it is also a significant and proud day for Hamir himself, his wife who is here today, and also his family. Today is Hamir's first day, and in the next week and coming weeks, he'll be learning more about the players and the team, starting preparations for our important matches in the autumn, starting in September, taking in League of Ireland matches, meeting people at grassroots, amongst several other aspects, and I know he's excited to get going. So I know you're all keen to hear from him, so Hamir and I are happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We'll start with David from RT, please.
Hamir, obviously congratulations on the appointment. Just tell us how it came about after the initial contact from the AHERA.
So how it came about in regards to what?
From the first approach to you actually agreeing to become new head coach.
Well, it was from them and from some others, it was some interest. So, no, I said from beginning I was committed to Jamaica, finishing the Copa America, etc. But it was always an interested project, this national team, and I think this job is really an interesting project, exciting for all coaches, I think. And so when it got closer to Copa, I was more leaning on this, even though I had some other offers as well. So before Copa America, I talked to the president of Jamaica, told him I would resign after Copa. And I tried to depart Jamaica in as much positive way as possible. And I think we succeeded in that, and thanks to them to do it on a professional note. But yeah, it was always kind of exciting and on top of my list to come here. I don't know when it was, you know, what date it was when I was kind of clear in my head to take this. But, you know, I just always admire the professionalism from the board, the respect they showed me in the process. I know it was probably difficult for them. When I repeated myself again and again, I was focused on finishing the Copa America, and probably not the day that they wanted to hear, but they were really professional and honest all the time.
You mentioned yesterday about going back to basics. Can you just expand on that?
Football in general, you need basics, especially at this level, at international level. It's tricky to be a national team coach. It's totally different from being a club coach and a national team coach. Your time with the players is so limited. So you need to have the basics perfect before you build on something different. If you forget the basics, being organized, being compact, being a strong unit, that's always the first thing you need as a national team coach. And then you can build on progressively from that thing. So that was kind of what I meant. Not starting with the fancy stuff and forgetting the basics.
Anne-Marie, thank you.
Mark, just a couple of questions around the timeline. When you identified Hamir as your number one target in March, we were told that there'd be an announcement about the manager in April. Was there a chance that Hamir was going to come to us before the Copa America?
Obviously, we ran a process from late December, as you're aware. Those early stages, the first couple of months, so the end of December, most of January, was a lot of exploratory conversations with people that we identified, for people that met our criteria. That was ended up being quite a small pool of people. Us as a panel made a decision that we wanted to focus on someone who met that criteria as close as possible, which you would expect. Hamir was clearly one of those candidates who met that criteria above and beyond, and some. We made that decision in March. And what we obviously communicated at that point that we had hoped to make an appointment in early April. Amy was one of those people that was under contract. I think if we had our time again, and I acknowledged this in April in the video, and I acknowledge it again today, that we wouldn't communicate in that way at that point. We'd hope that we could do that, but we recognise and take responsibility that if we had our time again, we would have said that from the very outset and very consistently the whole time, the focus is on getting the right person for the job, and for however long that takes, we would take that time. So I think the learnings that we had from that is setting timelines that created expectation for people that we would make an appointment at that point. And I think that's some learning for us to take on board.
So if Hamir may not have necessarily been the candidate you were going to announce in April?
And we made a decision that Hamir was our number one candidate.
Sky Sports?
He was. candidate you were expecting to announce in April, and
no,
together before the Gulf
we made the decision that Haymir was our number one candidate. We would hope to have concluded that process. It wasn't possible. Haymir was consistent all the way through that he's committed to that piece, the Nations League and the Copa America. And the reflection, the learning for us is that we shouldn't communicate, that we'd hope to make an announcement at that point.
Sky Sports, thank you.
Stephen Murphy from Sky. Hi, Murphy. Congratulations and best of luck with the job ahead of you.
Thank you.
Given that you were obviously famously involved in the Iceland team that knocked England out of the Euros 8 years ago, and given what Gareth Southgate has gone on to do with that team and their results last night, would you fancy them to beat Spain in the final on Sunday? Do you think that Ungar as European champions in September?
That's an ace. You can slip on that one. I said from the beginning that England's going to win the tournament. Even though when they didn't play their best game, they still won. They grinded the resource, and I still believe that they're going to win it.
How do you prepare to take on that level of quality then so soon in your job?
Well, that's just our job to face anyone we are drawn against or is in our group. That's just our job. And I've said all the time that even playing the best, probably they will be European champions, or playing the best will at least expose our weaknesses. So it helps us to improve what we need to improve. So we will always have some answers, good or bad. I hope there will be good answers, but we will have a lot of answers after that game.
BBC Northern Ireland, please.
Amir, Mark Sidebottom, BBC Sport. Firstly, welcome.
Thank you.
Secondly, we wish you well in the job. Is it a job that you had to think long and hard about taking, or is it one which appealed immediately?
When you have some interest from different areas, you of course think, what are the pros and cons? And I think in this case, it was a lot of positives that for me to take this job. I think the squad is really interesting. Young players that have been given, what I think is really important, is they have been given time, international time to play. So young players with international experience, I think that's the most exciting thing. But what kind of made my decision was the professionalism from the board in the contacts. They showed me a big respect, even though I knew that they might go for someone else. I insisted that I wanted to finish the Nations League with Jamaica and then the Copa America. They were just so professional. That was probably the most appealing thing, working for these people, and I hope that is going to be fruitful. But again, the position on the FIFA ranking, I think there's potential to go higher. And of course, in the future with young players, they will hopefully progress and develop, and we will be a force reckoned with in the future.
From Iceland to Ireland via Jamaica, your football's Leif Erikson, you have a reputation for bringing small nations to big tournaments. What makes you believe you can bring Ireland back to the big stage?
Experience, probably. It's a lot of similarities. I've said before, it's a lot of similarities. Both the characteristics of Irish people and Icelandic people. So it's very similar characteristics. The team is similar to the Icelandic team we started with in the beginning. Young, exciting, really good team spirit, etc. So it's a lot of similarities. So I hope we can build on the same things, similar things that we did in Iceland. A little bit different in Jamaica. There were more high-profile players that we used. But there's some things that key elements that we need to work on to get results in at this level.
Mark, just one final question. In relation to the allegations of historic sexual abuse, what's your message, the FAI's message, to those women who've spoken out?
As has already been communicated in the last week, to repeat some of those same messages, that football should always be, as a first objective, a safe place for everyone. And it's horrible that those women have had to go through those experiences, and they shouldn't have, and no one should ever go through that experience ever again. Testament to that courageous group of women who've spoken up for themselves, but also future girls and women that play football in this sport, that should never happen to anyone. in sport or in any environment. And I think hopefully we can take some positives from this to make sure that we build on the more positive work that's done in recent years around safeguarding and make sure that never ever happens again. But massive courage and for them to step up and to make sure that's in place for future generations.
Thank you both very much.
Will, off the ball.
Hey, Mara, what sort of challenge is it to be coming into this Nations League campaign without having a friendly with the squad, maybe not all that time with the squad before they're in the game?
The challenge for me is, of course, getting to know everything and everyone and learning the names and you know, what they can bring to the national team, etc. So that is going to be a tough time for me as a coach. So I'm relying on the past coaches, John O'Shea and more, to assist and help. And I called him yesterday, told him that I really would love to have him as a part of this journey. And he has had a lot of respect from the board, being a caretaker. And I really think in the context of continuity and progress, that if he is on board, we will probably be faster in what we want to achieve. And the same with the staff. So I think that would be the most challenging thing for me, to kind of knowing not only the players, but the culture, etc., so we can tap into everything we need to win England and Greece.
Mark, is that something you welcome as well? Did you discuss that with John O'Shea before this point was made about him potentially being in the backroom team?
John and I have always had regular conversations all the way through the process since the first time that we asked him to be interim in March and then same in June. We've always had an open and transparent conversation with John. It was always clear that that would be an interim role for those two periods. And then in the last few weeks since the international games finished, obviously we continued those conversations and explained at a high level what we were doing, conscious it was very confidential, and we remained that all the way through, and expressed the desire from the association as well that he's an important part of what we want to do moving forwards. And then more broadly, we genuinely want to develop Irish coaches, and I think that's really important. And that was part of our conversations at Hamer. It was really important that the coach who was coming in understood the bigger picture, all the things we're trying to do around the Football Pathways Plan and develop players and coaches, and see John and other Irish coaches, being part of the now and the future. So if John is keen to continue, we hope that's the case.
And just one last one from me here. I hope you appreciate why I've asked you this question, because obviously we're in the middle of the accusations which the interim CEO and Mark have already spoken about. Well, you've spoken about Mason Greenwood before, and you were interested in getting him in the Jamaica squad. Just wondering how you feel about those comments now that you've had a chance to address the comments you made.
Yeah, it's always in what context the question is asked, in what scenario the question is asked. I absolutely don't approve of his actions, just to make that clear. The question to me was after the president of the Jamaica Federation and the general secretary welcomed him to play for Jamaica. So obviously the coach got the question. The political answer was that obviously all coaches would like to have the best players available, and that was kind of my answer to them. Didn't need to take a decision on selecting him, never came to that. So kind of trying to maybe duck the question, because answering questions like this, whatever you say, it will always be people supporting and then against what you are saying. So yeah, that was just my answer to the scenario at that time.
Just for Mark, hey Mark, congratulations and I suppose welcome to Ireland.
Thank you.
It was just mentioned earlier that there was a number of factors to do the press conference today. Is it possible for the FAI to elaborate on what some of those factors were to do this today?
Yeah, I'll take that. So I think, as everyone can appreciate, there's quite a bit going on in the football world at the moment, most notably the news stories from last weekend. We also have the women's national team competing tomorrow. I know there was question marks as to why we went today. We didn't want to go head-to-head with the women's national team fixtures. We're away against England on Friday, at home to France on Tuesday. Obviously, it's a two-stage announcement, so the reality is Hamer, we wanted to make sure he was up and running with his much advanced preparation time for September as possible, and we couldn't wait a further week, unfortunately.
And just to yourself, Hamer, obviously today there's a lot of issues that aren't related to your job being spoken about, a lot of historical stuff. And yesterday, one of Ireland's greatest players, Damien Duff, said he'd like to see Abbottstown raised to the ground. This was before you were announced. But how does it feel to come into a job and to have this background noise about your future employers kind of in the ether?
Well, it's not for me to kind of say anything about that. This is, if I understood you correctly, he was talking about the Federation or what?
Yeah, saying about.
Yeah, so I cannot comment on that, really. Don't have the background information about anything of this, so don't want to comment.
Does it kind of make you apprehensive to come into this role hearing kind of this stuff being said?
I have enough on my plate now for the last 2 days, so adding on to that probably is disturbing a little bit, but I'm trying to focus in on what I can do and what I can bring to the table, so just trying to focus.
I might just conclude on that remark, because I appreciate it. I don't know if Hamer has even seen those comments. I think, look, Damien is absolutely welcome to voice his own opinions. All I can kind of reflect is my own experiences with the association, and it's been very encouraging. I think the reality is I'm surrounded on a daily basis by really passionate colleagues, both in the office and across the country, that want to make a difference in Irish football. So I appreciate Damien's welcome to his own opinions, but I just want to reaffirm for my colleagues' benefit that we see the value in what they bring to the association and to Irish football day in, day out.
Gavin, please.
You just said circumstances are out of your control for these announcements. Ireland will play England in a football match tomorrow. What message does this send to the women's football side of the house that this is taking place, that this is completely overshadowing them?
Well, I think we have tried to pay absolute respect to the women's national team. We have spoken to Eileen in advance of the announcements. She understands that this is the reality of professional football. Unfortunately, the calendar is jam-packed, as we well know. There's never an ideal time for these announcements, and I think the reality is we had secured our preferred candidate. We wanted to ensure that he could get going as quickly as possible.
Mark, when you said there'll be an appointment in early April, we read it out on statement, and there was nothing ambiguous in what you said. So what changed? Were you misleading us, or did something else we should think?
Despite, contrary to what has been written and said, it was never, ever our intent to deliberately mislead anyone. Never. No, I'll carry on answering your question, but just to be super clear, never, ever did we sit in a room talking about what we were doing and thinking, let's deliberately mislead anyone. Never, ever was that part of our conversation, decision-making, discussion, ever. It was always to focus on getting the right person. I've acknowledged and I'm conscious I'm repeating myself, and will and continue to do so if we get similar questions, that we recognise that that was not the best communication from us. We recognise and acknowledge that and take responsibility from us, from ourselves. If we were to do that again, we would communicate in a different way, and it's good learnings for us moving forwards. But we've always stayed true to the fact that we try to get the best person for the job.